You know, when I think about deer hunting, I always picture that quiet morning, that connection with nature, peaceful. But this article you flagged, the one from the American Hunting Lease Association, it sort of throws a shadow on that picture, doesn't it? It asks, what if this simple activity, this basic equipment, holds a really serious hidden danger?
That's exactly it. And it perfectly sets up what we're diving into today. We're focusing right in on tree stand safety.
Using that HLA blog post as our guide.
Right. And our mission, well, it's pretty clear. We want to unpack the real risks involved, sure, but more importantly, highlight these simple, genuinely life-saving solutions that are out there.
And this is for you listening in. Maybe you hunt, maybe you know someone who does, or maybe you're just curious about how, you know, a bit of knowledge can prevent some really serious accidents. This deep dive is designed to give you that quick, solid understanding of what's at stake, and honestly, how easy it can be to make things safer.
Yeah, and the HLA, they frame this really powerfully. They say we're kind of at a crossroads, historically speaking, with tree stand falls.
A fork in the road, they called it.
Exactly.
Right.
Do we just accept these falls as like a tragic but unavoidable part of hunting? Or do we stand up and say, no more?
And the HLA stance is firmly the second one.
Absolutely. They're aiming for complete elimination, zero falls.
So when they talk about this fork in the road, what are the sort of wider implications if these falls don't get eliminated? Is it just about safety, or does it affect hunting overall?
Oh, it's definitely broader. Great question. I mean, beyond the personal tragedy, which is huge, it hits the sport's reputation hard. Makes people ask about responsibility, you know.
Okay, could put people off trying it.
Definitely. Especially new hunters, maybe younger folks, if it seems inherently dangerous. And yeah, for groups like the AHLA, it's also about liability on leases.
Okay, so it's tied into the business side too.
For sure. So preventing falls isn't just about saving lives, though that's paramount. It's also about, well, protecting the future of hunting itself.
And it really lands differently when you hear personal stories, like the one in the article, the author's first time out.
Oh, that one's powerful.
Yeah, told to climb into this old shaky stand, windy day, no safety gear at all. And just after a few minutes, gut feeling kicks in. Climbs down, thinking, if this is deer hunting, I'm not sure I want to do it.
And that's the question, isn't it? How many people have had some kind of unsafe first experience like that and just thought, nope, not for me?
Exactly. Lost to the sport before they even really started.
And building on that, the statistics. When you look at the risk versus reward, they're just, well, sobering.
Yeah, the article mentioned tracking isn't totally consistent everywhere.
Right. State by state varies. But the data we do have, it gives us a pretty solid estimate. The Tree Stand Safety Awareness Initiative, TSSA, they figure nearly 1 in 10 falls result in death.
1 in 10.
Yeah. Think
Yeah.
about that. 10 hunters fall without being secured properly, one of them doesn't come home.
God, that means a family losing someone, a dad, a husband, a daughter. And like the article says, you don't get a do-over.
No second chance. That decision point is critical. Once you fall, that's it.
And even if you survive the fall, the injuries aren't minor scrapes.
Not at all. We're talking life-altering stuff. Broken ankles, femurs, yeah, but also fractured vertebrae, spinal injuries, closed head wounds, internal organ damage.
Things that can leave you disabled permanently.
Exactly. These aren't just, you know, bumps and bruises.
The article had that specific story, didn't it? The young hunter in Indiana. That one really stuck with me.
Oh, yeah, the 16-foot fall, hearing his own neck snap.
Just awful. Newly married, baby on the way.
And the prognosis, grim. Never breed on his own, 24-hour care for life.
And he made that incredibly difficult choice to be taken off life support. Passed away hours later.
It just rips the statistics out of the abstract, doesn't it? Shows a real profound human tragedy behind each number.
Absolutely. And they gave a concrete figure, too, for perspective.
Yeah, back in 2015, there were 11 reported deaths from tree stand falls in the U.S.
Reported, keyword.
Exactly. And that doesn't even touch the injuries, the live. Completely changed forever.
Which brings us back to the core message from the AHLA.
Which is crystal clear. Every single one of these falls is 100% preventable. Their absolute priority is to eliminate them. Anything less is just not acceptable.
Okay, so if it's that preventable, 100%, why are we still seeing this? Why the resistance? Safety gear has improved, there's education.
Yeah. But hunters still aren't always using it. Diligently, anyway.
That survey they mentioned, 1,305 hunters, the results were not great.
Nauseating was the word the article used, I think. And yeah, look, 591 said they wore a harness every time. Okay, good.
But then?
308 wore one most of the time, which means sometimes they didn't.
And the worst part?
406 never wore one. Never.
Including teenagers who actually made fun of their friends for wearing one.
Yeah. That points to something deeper, doesn't it? It's not just forgetting.
No, it sounds like convenience. Or maybe that it won't happen to me feeling.
That's a big part of it, I think. That risk perception is skewed.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like with the teenagers, maybe it's some kind of cultural thing in certain groups. Like safety gear isn't tough, or it spoils the challenge somehow.
Hmm. So changing behavior means getting at those beliefs, not just throwing stats around.
Exactly. It's about shifting the mindset.
It's not just knowing, it's doing.
Which, thankfully, leads us right into the AHLA's proposed solution. And it's surprisingly simple.
Okay.
A clear two-step process. They argue if everyone adopts this, these falls could basically just disappear.
All right. Step one sounds pretty direct.
It is. Wear your harness every single time you climb. No exceptions.
Non-negotiable, they called it.
Totally. Leave it at home. Right. Hunt from the ground. Get to the tree. Realize you forgot it. You walk back and get it. Period.
And they practice what they preach on their leases, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Their number one rule is explicit. No harness, no lifeline. You don't climb. End of story.
Okay, harness every time. Got it. What's step two?
And this is the really crucial part, I think, because it tackles something many people miss. Step two is use a lifeline or safety line.
Why is that so critical if you're already wearing a harness?
Because, get this,
The
article states over half of all tree stand falls happen while climbing up, climbing down, or that tricky moment transferring from the ladder to the platform.
Okay. So even with a harness on.
If it's not connected to anything yet, it does you no good during those moments. That's the blind spot.
Right. So the lifeline bridges that gap. What exactly is it?
It's pretty simple, actually. An appropriately rated rope, maybe 25, 30 feet long. Loop on one end.
Okay.
You wrap it around the tree above where your stand will be. Thread the other end through the loop and secure that end down near the base of the tree so you have a line running vertically.
Gotcha. And how do you connect to that?
With a smaller rope tied onto the main lifeline using something called a prussic knot.
Prussic knot.
Yeah, it's clever. It slides easily up and down the main rope when there's no tension, so you can climb. But if you slip, if there's sudden downward weight, that knot cinches down hard on the lifeline and stops you instantly, like a seatbelt locking up.
Wow. Okay. So wait, this means you attach your harness tether to that prussic knot before you even take your first step off the ground.
Exactly. That's the game changer. You are connected from the moment you leave the ground until the moment you're back down. Continuous connection.
That really does seem to cover all the bases. The climb up, the sit, the climb down.
Combine the harness, step one, with the lifeline, step two, and demand your hunting partners do the same. The article claims you've effectively eliminated the threat of falling from your tree stand.
That's a bold claim, but based on how it works, it makes sense. Eliminating the threat.
Which is why the AHLA is so passionate about getting this message out.
Yeah.
They're basically saying, look, we know how to stop this. We just need to do it.
So the call to action is pretty clear then.
Yeah. Push this message everywhere. Share the information. If you have hunters in your life, spouses, parents, kids, friends, send them this info. Talk about it.
Forward the article, maybe. Talk to the hunt club president.
Exactly. Anyone who has influence.
And especially for people managing hunting land or leases.
Make it a rule. Mandate it. Harness and lifeline every time. No exceptions. It needs to become the absolute standard.
Because the impact. It's not just about hunting stats.
No. It's about making sure no family anywhere has to go through that heartbreak of losing someone senselessly, needlessly.
So wrapping up then, the core takeaway is pretty straightforward.
It really is. A simple two-step safety habit. Wear the harness, always. Use a lifeline, always.
And that combination can prevent almost every single one of these tragedies.
It's that preventable.
You know, this whole deep dive, focusing on something so specific in hunting, it really makes you think, doesn't it?
Oh, so?
Well, if every single one of these tree stand falls is truly 100% preventable, it makes you wonder, what other risks do we just sort of accept in our lives?
In work or other hobbies, maybe even just daily routines.
Yeah, risks that could be eliminated if we just changed our perspective or committed to a different way or had the right information.
That's a provocative thought.
Yeah.
What would it actually take for us collectively to look at some of those other preventable risks and just decide, no more?
Yeah. What would that shift require? Interesting question to ponder.